Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about how teams fight. Sirhan was giving me an update about his team. I'd coached Sirhan almost 2 years earlier, and we'd stayed in touch. One major change he had implemented as a result of our work was a makeover of his team's meetings. That makeover, and my conversation with Sirhan about it, is in an episode called Taming Meetings. After the makeover, the team began to generate some new behaviors. Most of them were good, but one area had been bumpy, how team members fought with each other. Sirhan was telling me about that now.
"You remember Kelly and Jared?" he asked, naming two of his direct reports.
I said I did.
"Well, for a while they became open enemies. Their anger infected us all, maybe me most of all. I was very irritated every day, and I don't want to feel that way at work. So I asked myself, what was irritating me? I decided it was the conflict that was happening in the team. I remembered you had said conflict was a good thing. You remember saying that, right?"
"Oh, absolutely. I still believe it if the conflict is healthy."
"Exactly. This did not feel healthy to me."
"Because why?" I asked.
"Because people were attacking each other's worth. It felt very personal."
I nodded. That was a very powerful descriptor of unhealthy conflict, people attacking each other's worth. I asked, "So what did you do?"
"I tried two things. One went well, the other not so much."
"I'm all ears," I said.
"The one that worked was an idea of Kelly's, actually. It might not have mattered if the team hadn't started making decisions together, but they had. That was part of the new meeting structure, you remember."
I said, "Of course."
"Well, the fighting was starting to get personal. Usually Kelly was asking for more information, and Jared was saying her demands were crushing the business."
"Well, that doesn't sound so personal. I mean, those sound like legitimate stances."
"Maybe. Except she was saying things like, 'Jared, do you think I would walk off a cliff just because you asked me to?' And he was no better. One day, he told her she wouldn't be able to get 10 people on a 20-person bus unless she had a slide deck and a spreadsheet."
"Yikes," I said. "Okay, that sounds pretty personal. So what'd you do?"
"I supported a suggestion of Kelly's."
"Which was?" He smiled at the memory, and then he said,
"She actually made a very strong stand. We were considering a project of Jared's, and she said, 'Look, if I support your project, I'll commit to do whatever I can to ensure it has a successful outcome. I expect the same from all of you if you vote for one of my projects. But I am sorry, Jared, there is not enough information here to make a good decision. There's just not. You have to bring us more data.'"
"Wow," I said, "that really is a strong stand."
"Wasn't it? Well, I decided she had a point. The group didn't have enough information to make a good decision because he had only prepared what he would normally have brought to me."
"How do you mean?"
"Jared and I have worked together a long time. I trust him. When he would come to me for approval, I never needed much information before saying yes to him. But when Kelly said, 'Hey, hold on, I need to understand this more,' I saw her point."
"And this somehow stopped the fighting? I would have thought Jared would have hit the roof."
"Oh, he did. But he came back with more data and proved his point to the team. And it was good for him, good for everyone. Before long, the team was looking at everyone's work and saying, 'Convince us.' It made all of us better."
I was trying to connect the dots. Finally, I asked, "If your boss asked why the team is better now, why the fighting has become more productive, what would you tell her?" He thought a minute, then said,
"The team used to fight turf battles. They would try to poke holes in each other's work. But now, they are fighting about what's best for the business. It's a better fight."
"Well, isn't what's best for the business completely subjective?" I asked.
"Indeed it is. So what we really end up fighting about is why something is or isn't good for the business. Those are good fights.
I nodded, impressed.
Changing his tone, he said, So let me tell you about the one that didn't work so well.
He continued,
Before Kelly took her stand that day, she had been so frustrated. I could see it. She was doing a lot of eye-rolling and sighing and shaking her head. It was especially blatant when Jared would talk. I didn't like it.
You know, it's interesting that you put that sort of behavior in the category of how teams fight, I commented.
Well, to me it felt like fighting. I'd see her give those little huffs, and to me it was like a bomb going off.
No, I agree with you. I think it is a form of fighting. But most people don't think of nonverbal behaviors that way, but I'm with you.
Is that what you call those behaviors? Nonverbals?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a perfect name, and Kelly had a lot of them.
So what did you try?
Well, I called her into my office, and I said I didn't like it, that it felt disrespectful, and I wanted it to stop.
Wow, good for you, Sirhan. How did that go?
He smiled. Well, at first she pretended she didn't know what I was talking about. But then she owned up to it, and she said she would stop, but it all felt pretty grudging on her part. All in all, I'd give myself maybe a C+. I felt pretty ineffective.
Did she stop?
Not really. Her behaviors got smaller, but they were still there. It almost made it feel worse.
Because
it felt so personal. It was like she was saying non-verbally, That idea is so stupid, and so are you. It was dripping with contempt. Clearly, a little talking to in my office wasn't very effective.
We sat in silence for a minute with him looking right at me, and then he cocked his head and said,
So?
Are you expecting some answer from me?
That was my hope.
Oh, okay. What was the question?
So there I am. I'm sitting in the meeting. These are all my direct reports, and Kelly gives this little huff and an eye roll. Oh, it's not a big thing, but it's a thing. What do I do? Do I call her out on it?
What would that sound like, Sirhan?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Okay, you first. What do you want to say to her?
He gave a long and then said, Kelly, don't. We agreed you are going to stop. Oh, I don't like that. Sounds like a scolding parent. Your turn. What would you say?
I'd say something like, Kelly, it looked like you had something to say.
That's all?
Yeah, just invite her to speak, I said.
And if she says no?
I don't know. What if she does?
Well, she clearly does have something to say. So if she says, no, nothing, I'm fine, how do I reply to that?
Sirhan, whether she speaks or not has nothing to do with you. Your job is just to notice that she had a reaction and invite her to express it. If she chooses not to, move on. He gave a thoughtful nod and a quiet, oh. Then he brightened.
If I do that and she doesn't speak up, then she can't come complaining to me later.
Oh, really? Where is that written?
Well, she had her chance and she didn't take it.
Well, that doesn't mean she can't complain to you later.
I suppose that's true. Isn't this going to embarrass her?
Why would it embarrass her?
It's as if I'm saying, I saw that, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. Back to the scolding parent.
Well, that's not the intent, Sirhan. If you say it with a disapproving attitude, it might sound that way, but if you're willing to just be curious and interested, it's just an invitation. I modeled it again, using a friendly, inviting tone. Kelly, it looked like you had something you wanted to say.
It's like some martial art move. Embrace your opponent before you throw her to the mat.
Does this feel like some sort of competition to you, like someone's going to win?
It feels a bit like a power move on my part, yes.
I see it differently. Observing someone's behavior out loud doesn't raise anyone above anyone else.
Someday, if the team gets really high-functioning, someone will do it to you. Oh, I would welcome that. I probably have some nonverbals I should be aware of. They really are insidious, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Some therapists use them as predictors of whether a couple will stay together.
Well, you mean if they are rolling their eyes, they won't stay together?
Maybe, because the nonverbal behavior indicates issues that are not getting talked about.
And if you can't talk about the tough stuff, the relationship isn't strong.
Exactly, I said. I've seen high-performing teams where they do this with each other with a lot of humor and kindness. If the team is really committed to being sure that people get heard, they recognize each other's signals, and they invite each other to speak all the time.
They must be awfully good at being uncritical.
They are. They're just curious. Hey, what were you thinking? Instead of fighting, there's a lot of talking and listening.
He gave a grunt. Listening. There's a never-ending journey.
And then, more thoughtfully, he said,
But then, I suppose, so is dealing with conflict.
Sirhan left our lunch reassured about his first tactic regarding the team's fights, continue to have them wrestle with the question, what's best for the business? He was also determined to address negative nonverbals the instant he saw them by inviting the person to speak, and he wanted his team to learn to do it too, even to him. Those two tactics would help the team's conflict remain healthy and thus project the look and sound of leadership. The goal for this episode was to tee up three core ideas that can help teams fight more effectively. First, conflict is good. It's your job as a leader to create an atmosphere where difficult topics can get discussed. And difficult topics are difficult precisely because people take sides. But conflict is good if it's healthy. Second, conflict isn't personal. As the leader, be sure that your talk and your team's talk is connected to the topic, not the person. Why does the team care about this? What are people disagreeing about, really? Ask those questions. Third, conflict is an invitation. People send out signals when they're upset. When we're tuned in enough to recognize them, we usually avoid them, like a hot stove. But learn to use them as invitations. Genuine, interested, non-defensive invitations. Look, this is definitely a learned response, but you can do it, and boy, it makes such a difference. Regular listeners know that around now, I usually refer to other episodes that connect to whatever we've been talking about. Usually I list four or five. Well, this month, there were so many I could have referred to. The second and third goals that I just mentioned, conflict isn't personal, and conflict is an invitation, those two goals touch on so many other episodes of The Look and Sound of Leadership, it was hard to decide which to recommend. Here are six you can listen to if you want to flex your muscles in this area. Disagree agreeably. Facilitating open dialogue. Getting agreement. Holding people accountable. Leadership and listening, and resolving conflict. One of the joys that I have every month is hearing from all of you. I continue to hear from so many of you. Thank you for being in touch. Thanks for telling me your stories. I love getting a peek into your world. And thanks, too, for all the appreciation and kind words that you send my way. And thank you for your reviews on iTunes. Those mean more than you can ever know. By the way, I haven't said this in a while, but if you happen to post a review anywhere, please let me know. I would love to say thank you to you and send you a PDF with reading resources. If you want to be in touch, just go to the Essential Communications website. It's essentialcom.com. That's essentialcom with two M's.com. All the past episodes are in the Coaching Tips archive. And to be in touch, just hit contact. It's on every page, and I see every email. It's always a pleasure. As you head into the close of the year, here's a question for you. Is this the year you get a taste of coaching? I have a special package that I offer to podcast listeners. I don't talk about it all the time, but I don't know, today seemed right. The coaching I've done with listeners, frankly, has been great. I've made some good friends, and I've helped some people over some hurdles. If you'd like to see about some coaching, pop me an email from the website. I'd love to see if I can help. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.